You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods. My name's Joel Clayfish. Man, I love the outdoors. There is nothing better to me in the world than getting out into the waters and woods and the fields and the rocks and the hills and the lakes and the rivers and making that a day and turning that into food to put on my dinner table. Hosting this show is fun as heck for me, along with my co-host, Ellie Lawton, who is the real deal when it comes to culinary. She's got a culinary degree, a French culinarian, and turning wild game into food is about as good as it gets.
But you're the
real deal when it comes to hunting, too.
I love to hunt.
Yeah, you actually really do love to hunt.
I hunt all the time, as much as I can.
Do you think that, is there, I have to ask this question very carefully, because women are the fastest growing group of new hunters. Women aged 18 to 35. So young women are the fastest group. And what I'm seeing in that group now, what I'm seeing is there are sometimes divisions as to among women in those hunting groups.
Certainly.
What's going on there? Because as just a dumb guy, I don't know. And I don't understand. I want to know.
Well, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I've been involved with, several women's hunting groups. I've mentored women's hunts here in Wisconsin and in some of our states out west. And I think it's just like anything else, Joel. I think there are people that have common interests, and when you bring them together, sometimes they decide, I think emotions take over sometimes. I think that competition takes over. I think sometimes, this is a hard one to explain.
Let's just not sugarcoat it that social media has completely ruined
it.
Well, yes, of course, Chad. That's a huge thing.
I'm with you. Chad Belding is here, national host of The Foul.
Oh, I don't even get to keep talking about that.
We're getting back to this.
But she wanted to say it, she just wasn't going to say it.
Well, the listeners got to know who's talking. Chad
Belding
is here.
Well, there's a lot of levels. We got to get there.
Wando's here. Brittany's here. Continue your point.
So, Chad, to what you said, the social media thing, some areas of hunting and for women in the outdoors, it's completely been annihilated on social media. You have some people that misrepresent women in the outdoors. You have women like me. I was fortunate enough to be born and raised into hunting. My father took me in the woods as soon as I could walk around and handle firearms safely. I was blessed with that opportunity. I see women getting into it for the wrong reason sometimes. Sometimes, just to be quite honest, it's for attention, right?
It's always for attention.
Well, when we're talking social media, of course it is, but that turns toxic. And my earlier point of you bring people together with these common interests, but then you really put them together and you understand the root of where those interests came from and how they came to life. There's a lot of division that happens, and it's really unsettling for someone like me. I've been around a lot of women in the outdoors. I've personally experienced it. And I gotta say, I don't want to hurt all the women's feelings that are listening to this, but I'd rather hunt with men any day of the week.
Really?
Absolutely.
Is it true that women, like my daughter's in high school right now, and it just seems like girls are mean?
Girls are mean.
Absolutely.
Brittany, back me up on this.
Absolutely.
Girls are mean. Yes. And
way meaner than boys.
And
yes. Boys are fighters, but girls are mean.
And girls don't forget.
Yeah, but girls fight, or boys fight, and it's over.
Yeah, yes. Like, yeah, you guys punch each other in the face or go have a beer together. Women,
it's a cat fight. They hold on and they want to go.
Yeah, so it's really a shame, but I don't want to I don't want to make that a blanket statement for everything and everyone and all the women involved in the outdoors, because there are some women out there grinding every single day to represent the outdoor community, to expose new hunters, whether male or female, to the community, to teach, and not only about just going out and harvesting these animals. You have women that are going out there and guiding big game hunts out west, and then on the off season they're teaching foraging, and they're teaching how to utilize these harvests or how to turn hides or bones or antlers into jewelry or clothing. There are so many amazing women out there that are doing the work. And you know what? A lot of times those women, they don't even post it on social media, because they actually, you know that it's coming from their heart of hearts, because they're not looking for that like. They're looking, it truly brings them happiness and warms their hearts knowing
to share
that they shared their love of the outdoors. And I mean, we could talk about this for hours. Well,
and I want to talk about it, because I think there's good that comes from it in people who find an interest they never may have found. But then I've seen, just within the last year, I've seen people post a deer that they shot in a high fence. Now, I have no problem with high fence hunting.
I don't either. I've high fence hunted.
But post it a high fence deer at the beginning of the Wisconsin deer season, making it look like they shot a wild deer.
Nobody did that.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they're using lots of filters on the videos and claiming certain things. Now, I say to myself, if you're really interested in truly bringing people to the outdoors, you're going to take your pictures. Of course, we had beautiful pictures of a turkey this morning, but you're not going to misrepresent things. I think the misrepresentation of your motives, or you know, how you explain that you're doing all these things. I'm not out here for attention, but look at all the things I'm doing to get attention. I mean, that's a contradiction. And when people see that, I think that's what we struggle with as hunters, because we're out here trying to convince the non-hunting community that we're good conservationists.
Most people that hunt will tell you straight up how difficult it is.
Yes. Yeah.
And when it comes to, let's say, specifically waterfowl hunting, which this is part of the Fowl Life podcast, waterfowl hunting is extremely difficult to be consistently successful at.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's very expensive. It's intense. The learning curve is unbelievable. And most importantly, the barrier of entry is very high. And what social media does is it creates what I call instant false credibility.
Yeah.
And I think the audience has changed. And I think that people that can go onto social media and develop this credibility, I just want them to ask themselves. I think everybody, like what Ellie just touched on, is can you really truly hunt?
Mm-hmm.
Do you truly have compassion for the animals you pursue? Do you understand what respect for the resource means? Are you a conservationist? Do you give sweat equity and elbow grease to the animals and give back? Have you taken a veteran hunting? Have you mentored a kid into hunting?
Right.
Have you worked with St. Jude's and brought a family of a sick kid out? Where does your credibility come from?
Right.
And then on top of that, do you have the ability to harvest animals on a successful basis the right way and be successful?
Mm-hmm.
Not unethical, not poaching, not putting a filter on it and making it look like you killed a big deer. And we all know that it was killed in high fence, which you go kill high fence, fine.
That's fine.
But don't make it like it's a fair chase hunt in Wisconsin.
Or talk about how hard you scout, you know, and then you're posting pheasant pictures, you know, that pheasants are planted in Wisconsin.
Do you really know how to hunt? Can you see a mule deer's horns when he's bedded down on a ridge in Nevada and stalk that deer and get an ethical shot? Do you understand where he lives? Have you ever put a deer to bed?
Well, do you educate yourself?
Yes. Do you study? Do you know who, do you know who the trailblazers are? Do you give credit to the trailblazers, or did you get into it because you're pretty and you get a lot of people watching your stuff because you're pretty, but you have no credibility.
And you're obsessed with the like button. How many likes did I get?
It happens in every industry, not just hunting.
Absolutely. I wanted to relate this to the restaurant industry. So what happened in the restaurant industry when we started doing things like Top Chef and some of the other cooking shows, where you had all these people that were just making random things in their kitchen, throwing it online, and then they became celebrities. Well, then you saw all these people going out and wanting to run restaurants because they only saw the glamour side of it. And then they got into it and they're like, oh my gosh, this actually isn't glamorous at all. It this sucks, is very, very
you're
hard.
Sweating your
this
rear
is
end
very,
off,
very hard work.
Working weekends.
You're married too.
Yeah, but you have the people on social media that are only posting the glamorous side of it, and then people aren't talking about, hey, this is hard. Like you said, Chad, sweat equity. I mean, just waterfowl hunting alone.
Oh my gosh.
Bird identification. I mean, come on. If you're going out there and you don't even know what bird you're supposed to be shooting at, or you don't know your regulations, I mean, that's the bare minimum, right? So it like you said, it's with every industry. And
well, you used to have to go to honky tonks and come up as a singer. Travis Tritt, the great Travis Tritt, was on my show one time, and I'm relating this back to what we're talking about. He's a hunter and a conservationist. He says, Chad, I'd be in a bar like Wando's, and I'd be up there singing a Waylon song, mm-hmm. and there'd be a fist fight going on. There'd be a pool table game going on. There'd be a husband and wife talking louder than I could sing. He said the next day I went out and bought a 100-foot guitar cord, and I plugged it into the amp that night, and I went and stood on that table, and I went and stood on the pool table, and I made them listen to me, mm-hmm. and I developed an audience, and I developed credibility because I could write a song. I could play guitar, and now it's TikTok, and it's this false credit. And I'm not saying that
and
the artists
AI.
Are good.
Yep. What's real and what's
but
not?
It's become
so fake, mm-hmm. that now Nashville is known as a 10-year town. You're getting record deals on TikTok in 1 month. Mm-hmm. And then just always ask yourself, are you a good hunter? And when it's all said and done and people talk about you at your funeral, are they going to say, man, that dude or that girl, she could live in the woods. She could build a fire. She could change a tire. She could call a duck. She could clean a duck, butcher a duck, process a duck, cook a duck, serve it as a bounty, and make people go, holy shit, there's no way that's not beef.
Mm-hmm. Was I not allowed to beep cuss? That out.
Really? Oh, you can't cuss? Is that one of the words?
I think you're okay.
This is radio.
But what I'm saying is just ask yourself.
There's a little more free living on podcast.
Ask yourself if all the likes in the world are checking those boxes.
But that's what I mean. This we have higher depression in the United States right now than we ever have because everybody looks on social media
Absolutely.
And thinks, why isn't my life that great? And all you're seeing is the highlights. I saw it on the front of a church billboard the other day. It said, may your life be half as good as it looks on Facebook. This is the life that we are training this next generation to accept, that they are accepted by likes, they are accepted by comments, they are accepted by notoriety or something going viral
and no
on social media, and zero accountability, zero responsibility,
said,
zero integrity.
Do you remember when Mike Tyson said everybody's a tough guy until they get punched in the face?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know how many people talk on their mom's basement on a keyboard?
Yes. Yes.
And get to say whatever
I
they
do.
Want.
Yes,
Wando sucks. I went there last night and the burger sucks. Yeah. Why don't you come stay at the Wando? He stands outside every night.
Every
night. You know? Like,
I don't
know. And I'm not saying people say that. That was just an example.
No. I mean, honestly, I would buy a ticket to watch someone say that to Wando.
Well, it happened for 2 years when I bought the building next door, which was a former famous place. And people thought I actually bought the building and kicked out a widow whose husband bought it 8 years prior.
Jeez.
And people would walk in front of Wando's and say F Wando 6 times in the course of an hour, but no one said it to my face. And finally,
I wouldn't say it to your face either.
And finally, people a couple guys squared up on me, and finally I just said, let's talk about it.
We're going to talk. We're talking more about this because this is a fascinating
topic.
Yeah,
this is a great topic.
And Brittany, you got 20-something-year-olds. I got 20-something-year-olds. Chad, you've got one coming up in that age. We're going to talk about why that generation is so obsessed with it, what we need to do to turn that around, because it is a downfall, but there's still some positives. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The
This is Raised in the Woods, and we are on a fascinating topic that I love and we could talk about for hours on end. My name is Joel Clayfish. That's Ellie Lawton, co-host of the show. Chad Belding from the national television show The Foul Life on the Outdoor Channel and My Outdoor TV. You can check him out on YouTube as well. And
We just did a fascinating podcast the other night, so please go on The Foul Life and listen to the podcast.
Check out the podcast. We talk about some in-depth stuff. We've got Wando here from the world-famous Wandos. Brittany Christensen is joining us as a contributor to the show today. We're on the topic of social media, whether, you know, is it real? Is it fake? What are you portraying to people? What are you doing to people who see it? How does it affect the outdoors? How does it affect your life, your own, you know, personal integrity? This topic is so fascinating to me because we are watching a generation that is social media is media now. Mm-hmm. We grew up with television and the occasional movie if mom gave us $5 to go to the movie theater. Now it is scroll, 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 living in two dimensions instead of the outdoors. Brittany, you have
A 23-year-old.
Okay. I have a 23 and a 20-year-old. Chad, you've got a young daughter. Wanda, you have younger kids.
Four kids, yeah.
Yeah. These kids are fighting a daily battle right now. There is a battle, and the devil's in that God-blessed 3-inch by 7-inch thing that's in their hands, and they get calluses on their thumbs now from scrolling, doom scrolling, they call it, just doom scrolling, doom scrolling. Your brain's not working when you're doom scrolling. Studies are showing we're losing thousands of words every year. We're losing thousands of words in the American English dictionary of usage because AI is telling us how to finish a sentence now. We're not having to think of creative words to do it. Nobody's writing real poetry. They're pumping stuff into AI. They're using it for their classes and their schedules. What do you see with your 23-year-old, and how do you stop that? How do we stop it?
Well, we had a conversation. We went to dinner with, it was Chad, his daughter Alyssa, and myself. And they use AI, like one of the teachers allows them to use AI to their advantage because it's the wave of the future. So
sure,
that's the conundrum.
Yeah, there's pros and cons, and it's not just all thinking for yourself, but there are, you know, it is a quicker way of thinking, but it's like how I Google something. So then if I want to know something, I Google it so I can figure it out. So then they'll use AI in that aspect. But having it think for you, having it write your papers, having it do every single thing for you is absolutely ridiculous. And then what I feel with the whole social media aspect of it, I feel like these kids are living through their phone so much that when they see a human being, like face to face, they have social anxiety and they don't know what to do. And it's all this.
They don't look you in the eye when you shake their hand anymore.
They don't know how to talk to a human being because they're used to seeing human beings on their phone.
Yes. Right.
And so it's destroyed the human contact, the human eye contact, the human everything that.
Interpersonal communication. Yeah, Chad, Wando, is it our obligation to step in? Is it our obligation to try to contour those lives, or are we standing in the way of progress, natural progress?
Yeah, my daughter's 15 and she has a phone. There was part of me that never wanted to get her a phone, but then there's the fear of them falling back. So
yes,
it's a responsibility. It's accountability with it. There's no scrolling. She has social media pages, but she knows that we do check her phone on a constant basis, not out of trust, just out of what can happen on them. Mm-hmm. And Brittany's the same way of it's activation.
Yes.
It's spending time in the outdoors.
Yep.
It's dinners face to face. I wrote a business plan for a restaurant business called Converse.
Oh.
And it was a chalkboard business to where if you don't have anything to talk about, we'll give you something. We're going to write the topics on the board. No phones allowed. Well, we want to put it on our social media. I don't want it on social media. I want word of mouth.
Right.
I want you to go tell people how awesome Converse is because I built these tables that are full of pictures under 3/8-inch glass. And when people sit down at my tables in my house, it's full of my experiences in life and my daughters and Brittany's and my brothers and my mom's and my grandpa who grew up in Steubenville, Ohio with Dino Crescesi, who became Dino Martino, that became Dean Martin.
Dean Martin.
So people see my pictures of my grandpa with Frank Sinatra and Joey Bishop in the Rat Pack. It starts conversation.
Yep.
And people on social media are just like this, and they don't know how to talk. So I've tried to strive with my daughter at 15 to say, life is so much bigger than what's going on and living through other people vicariously.
Yep.
And the other thing is the comparing yourself to everybody, like you touched on.
Yes.
Oh, it's a real tough thing.
It's a real thing.
My daughter, I will send a video and say, look, here's a practice schedule of this girl that made D1 volleyball. And my daughter will go, don't need to see it, Dad. I already got a clear vision of what I want to do. And I'm like, holy, doesn't she?
Absolutely.
She does, she won't even open them. Okay. She's so
good for
fixed
her.
On herself. So go ahead, Wando. Sorry.
No, Wando, you're in the tavern industry. You're employing and seeing these students coming through the UW all the time. You have to have seen it.
The biggest problem is the phone.
Mm-hmm. It's the biggest problem in society right now.
If I decide not to go in till later on a Friday night and I go on my cameras, 3 bartenders, 2 bouncers will be on their phone. You know,
so from an employer standpoint,
it's the worst. I mean, other bar owners complain about their staffs vaping, you know, where I'm there, you know, eventually at night. So, you know, you can watch the drinking, you know, we have a zero tolerance on that. But it's like, but it's also the biggest advertising way for your business. Like I was working the front door on Saturday and at least 8 people came up to my bouncer and it's like, oh, you're TikTok famous. So he is TikTok famous. I have 2 workers that are so-called
and
TikTok.
All these people TikTok famous, tell me 5 years, tell me their names, because you're not going to remember them. These,
no legacy.
This is the flash in the pan.
But I also said, I will pay you to do stuff for me. You
right.
Because I've been saying this for years. Girls need to produce a TikTok once a week, because that is the biggest medium right now is TikTok.
Yes. That's what I mean. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And these phones and the scroll, we're going to keep talking about this. How to get away from that. The outdoors is the key. This is why the show is fascinating. And you're listening to us on old school media, the radio, but you can
love
still catch us on the podcast, on the social media stuff. You need both worlds. That's the craziest thing about it. This is Raised in the Woods. You never know what you're going to hear on Raised in the Woods. I guarantee you're going to laugh a little bit. You might cry from time to time.
I cry a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen you cry.
You called me fat on the show a couple times,
happened. That certainly never happened.
Evidently,
yeah.
Evidently, we stretched the truth on the show.
Saying earlier? Fit, not fat.
Never said that. I'm sure I've joked about myself being
fat. Noah knows what
on
I'm talking
show,
about, right, Noah? Yeah,
he's shaking his head. Food is my favorite dish. That's what I can tell
I thought
you.
Chad was going to bolt out of his chair for a second.
Yeah, well, hey, there's a filter for that.
I know there is.
I actually watched a girl in high school bleachers. There, I was like, what is she doing? She was going like that with her thing like that, you know?
Making
herself skinnier
and her
on her social media.
You guys, see people posting.
That's crazy.
Well, this is when I had Facebook. I'd see people posting pictures of themselves, and then I'd see them out in the community.
This
and I'm
is
like,
not what you look like.
It's not what you look
this
like.
Is not
if I didn't know
like.
Who they were, I would never know it was the same person.
You said exactly. She looked like Janet Jackson. Yeah. She got out the truck looking like Freddie Jackson. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm telling you, there are people we know, people we've hunted with, people we've experienced before. They put a video on social media and you go, who the hell is that in the video? They've used so many filters and softening. Man... it's crazy, and that's why this topic is so fascinating to me. We're talking about social media, how it affects people.
It did allow that girl over there to slide into my DMs. I think.
Oh, you win.
Oh, we talked about that on the show before.
I've never once DM'd you.
I need to. Hold on. I need to steer this ship in a different direction for a moment.
Hold on. I gotta. I'm gonna.
You text me. Just, I didn't even DM.
Don't start an argument. We don't
Who star won? Yes.
If you're just joining us on Raised in the Woods, we've got an all-star cast tonight, and we've got. Chad Belding from The Foul Life.
I thought you were going to say Janet Jackson.
Well, no, yeah. his girlfriend from the moment, for the moment.
No, yeah. Don't say that.
We're going to see how this conversation goes.
Oh, my goodness.
And Wando from the famous Wandos in Madison, Wisconsin.
Which we are going to tonight,
birthplace
for sure.
Of the jump around. We're not even getting
you promise we're the going there tonight, Joel?
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah, for sure. I love Wando. He's great.
Hey, I want to turn this around
now,
for a minute.
Let's go back. Let's go to you. We were talking about social media, what role it is for parents and folks in our Gen X to help those kids who are addicted to it get out into the outdoors. Do we have a role? Ellie Lawton, you were making a point. But I wanted to make sure everybody knew who was on the show.
It wasn't really a point. I kind of wanted to shift gears and talk about a few of the positives that do come from social media. And Chad, you just said Brittany, it allowed Brittany to slide into your DMs. Now
I'm
thinking that it was Chad that slid into your DMs.
No, we met.
Can we explain what that means in the first place?
We,
if someone doesn't
used,
know,
we
sliding
used regular
into
phone
DMs.
Numbers and text each other and dating apps, no anything.
You can get
you can be contacted
or contact anybody you want.
Yes.
Whether or not they read it or see
or
it.
Or respond is another thing.
But you know, like that's called sliding into their DMs.
But it's not common these days to hear of a new relationship that started without a dating app, a Facebook message, an Instagram, a TikTok,
something
like that.
I've never had a profile on Tinder.
I've never had a dating anything.
Nothing. Nope. I refuse to do it. I don't look down on it.
And it works for some people, but
it does work.
I've just never done it.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to talk about here is... So there are some good things about social media. Wando, you're a business owner. I mean, most of us in this room are. Those tools, that's how you reach your clientele, you know? So we're talking about the younger generations coming up and how they rely heavily on social media. Well, let me tell you, these younger folks, you know, getting out into the world, they're not going out to eat without looking on their phone first, looking at the menu, checking the place out. I mean,
checking
business,
their date out, recapping them.
Business owners, relationships. I mean, this, it is truly everything is centered around it. And I want to take it now back to the outdoors and how important it is. I think there is a healthy balance. And I think where we're struggling is we're not finding the healthy balance and folks are getting, folks are, the scrolling is habitual, right?
Yes. They're
not, when you watch, I was on a plane the other day and I watched a guy scroll for, I'm not kidding you, 8 hours. Ugh. And it was, I couldn't sleep because I'm like, okay, he's going to stop. I got to see how long he's going to do this for. And he never really stopped to read anything important, but it's a habit now.
Mindless.
Yes, it is mindless. Our brains are so overstimulated, and that is why it is so important to get into the outdoors. It is so important. If you're not a hunter, go for a walk on one of the beautiful trails that the Midwest has. Yeah. Go reach out to somebody on social media and say, hey, I see you went and experienced this. Would you mind teaching me or showing me? Learn something, because so we spend so many hours scrolling, we're not learning. We are doing a disservice to ourselves and all the resources we have at our fingertips. We're not using it the correct way. And finding that balance is so important. And I think that's really where we need to step in and say, hey, it's fine. You want to post your harvest on Facebook or Instagram or make a TikTok? Great. If that makes you happy, great. But you need to find a balance. Don't filter it. Be honest. Portray a correct message. So people that are thinking about getting into it are not completely blindsided when they go out for that first duck hunt. They're like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. I thought it was, I just showed up and I got this beautiful duck, you know, because that's what people are thinking.
That is, and that's, but that's happening more. Depression is rising right now because of social media. And what's happening is the young boys and young girls look on social media. They see only these people they know having fun at a party, at an event. And they think, why wasn't I invited to the event? Why wasn't I at that fun party? Why am I not having fun all the time? And the fact of the matter is, back when we were growing up, we had, you know, rotary phones or touch tone phones. We didn't know what everybody else was doing. Exactly. And we didn't only see the fun stuff. We lived it, and if we wanted to go somewhere, we got on our bike and rode there.
Well, but we also had to be creative.
And yeah,
you had to be creative.
There was a day when talent prevailed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And credibility prevailed. And
yes.
Now everybody's got their own podcast. Everybody's got their own channel. Everybody's got their own YouTube. And what these kids are doing, what a lot of adults do, is they think that people really care. And I'm here to tell you that we don't.
Nobody cares.
I want you to know that when you're at that Morgan Wallen concert in Madison, which he played here with Ella Langley last year, and we were putting together a little Ella Langley event at Wando's, trying to anyway, and she's awesome.
She's incredible.
But when you go there and you watch how many people are watching her and Morgan sing through a phone because they think that when they post that video the next day that somebody cares they were at the concert,
nobody cares.
Put it on Who Gives a sword.com because nobody cares.
A bleep.
Nobody cares. And that everybody that's doing this consistently thinks that people care.
That's the part
nobody
that cracks
cares.
Nobody
the
cares
most.
About your
nobody cares.
Your video of the 4th of July fireworks either. I'm just going to do a PSA because we're rolling into summer. Please put it down and enjoy it with your own eyes because some events and memories.
If I didn't have to do a part of our contracts for the Foul Life, and I mean this to every one of my partners. If I didn't have it written that we have to do a certain amount of social media, I don't have any personal social media. I think the Foul Life account follows 80 people. I don't scroll. She sees me on it sometimes because I have to pay attention on what I need to do to make these contractual obligations lean.
That's
and
your
right.
career.
But it makes sense.
But I don't care what you did at the Morgan Wallen concert. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you think about Ella Langley. And I don't think that anybody else does. So just stop. Don't go to a concert and watch it through a screen.
Right. The only thing I really care about is people can keep posting their food pictures because I love food inspiration.
That's what started the social media doomsday in the first place. Yeah. Well, look at my latte at Starbucks. Nobody cares about that.
You know, we talked about balance, though. I want to bring it back around. We talked about the balance. And what has happened is the balance has shifted so heavily in the younger generation to the obsession. And I do think it's an addiction because you get that dopamine push, right? You get that little mm-hmm. dopamine when you flip it. And that keeps going down and down and down and get less and less and less of it. And the less time you have natural dopamine, the more depressed you're going to end up. So what are the antidotes to that? And I think I always tell people live in three dimensions. Live in 3D. This is two dimensional. It's Amen. Not real. So what are the antidotes? Wando, you know, nobody in this room probably sees it more than you do on a regular basis. Your clientele is the generation born with the phone, raised with the phone, living on the phone. What's the answer? What are the antidotes? We know one's the outdoors.
Well, talk about the worst night of my life is Halloween.
Oh.
Everybody's in costumes. So all of a sudden, you know, we obviously charge a cover, but the girls get in the bar and they're on their phones. I'm like, I tell my bouncers, are they going to order a drink? They just want to take pictures for the rest of the night.
Right.
You know? Really?
But, I mean, talk about a podcaster like Dan Big Cat. I talked to him quite a bit. And think about this. He's a podcaster. But if he references that he's going to Wando's before a Badger football game, it's chaotic. I mean, I've had Aaron Rodgers in there, but nothing like this.
Mm.
He can't even get in the door with people want to take a selfie. And I don't know how he does it because he can't relax. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous the following that these people have, you know, just because he is, you know, a famous podcaster. I don't know where he ranks, but, you know, he's pretty famous. But,
yes, and that is the new thing, social media famous, or, quote, TikTok famous. Mm-hmm. And what we're also doing to our celebrities, because there was a time in this country where celebrity meant something.
Yes.
You know, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley.
Who pulls Diana Ross?
That's the first one.
Name one song.
Share.
Name one song.
Hey, didn't we look up how old she is?
Respect.
That no, that's Aretha. No, that's Aretha.
She's still killing it.
Don't call me into question. Diana Ross was awesome.
And still on tour.
We just saw a billboard of her in our hometown. But, I go, and we Diana Ross is coming. She's 83 and she looks like 50.
Oh my goodness.
But what, you know, my kids are 23. They still know who Michael Jackson is. They still know who Elvis is. Frank Sinatra is. 10 years down the road, is anybody going to know who, you know, Cubits was, or whatever the social media Marshmallow Man, or these I can't even remember.
It just allows more people to be quote unquote celebrities for a minute.
Yeah. It's the hottest flash in the pan we've ever seen because of social media.
But it is 100% the detriment of celebrities. Also, I know several Nashville recording artists that have had to get off of social media because their depression. Went so through the roof, they had to get...
Right, because they're not getting enough
whether you believe in therapy or medications,
light.
I don't care. That's not the argument. They were wondering, how did they get that record deal?
Yeah.
How did they get that award? Because it's all so readily available.
Mm-hmm. Back in
the,
and,
you know what really bugs me about the way media is now is that I can't stand a regurgitator. Because they read TMZ that morning. They're the smartest person on earth. You know, they report everything right away. But it used to be to where there was credibility you had to develop.
Well, it takes away from the people who are talented.
Yes, it does.
Yep.
And it takes away from the longevity of the real creation because the creations are just now flashes in the pan and snapshots. This is fascinating. I can't wait. We're talking about cooking next.
Maybe.
With Megan Salazar and Chef Ellie Lawton. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods. You can hear us live Saturdays at 11 o'clock on all your Civic Media stations throughout the great Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, and Iowa. My name's Joel Clayfish. I love being at the helm of this wacky show alongside Ellie Lawton, chef extraordinaire, outdoors woman. Megan Salazar, our contributor and sommelier, said I had to say sportswoman or outdoors woman.
We're outdoors women.
You're out there. You are definitely
we're
outdoors women.
We're outnumbering you too. Megan,
you guys are the real deal too. Which
Megan
I
had some business,
appreciate.
So she's just popping in for the last little bit of the
she
show
did.
Today.
She was, and what was Megan doing? Literally volunteering.
Yes.
To make the outdoors better for new
yes,
hunters.
She was.
So someone
I
who puts
it.
Her money where her mouth is and makes a
money,
difference.
Money, time, everything.
Yes, it's fantastic.
I want to talk about money and mouths.
Well, this is the cooking segment.
Whoa.
And what is cooking?
Which I meant you, Chad. I want to talk about you.
What is cooking with Chad Belding? What's cooking is his relationship with Brittany, who he brought along.
Whoa,
we love her, by the way.
We love to have Brittany coming along
it's
today.
It's the worst that an actual
She's
hunter.
Is what we're going to talk about?
It's probably the worst case of a hunter being stalked.
Oh God!
I don't.
Am I the prey?
No.
I'm pretty sure you were stalking her.
Megan wasn't
Everyone
in here
knows
earlier.
That.
We said that earlier.
Mm-hmm. I want to take a few moments today. It's just not often we get Chad here with us in Wisconsin. So, Chad,
Wisconsin.
If you're in the waterfowl world, you know Chad Belding, and Chad, some of our listeners may not know, you know, where you came from, how you started. I just kind of want you to explain to our listeners, how the Foul Life started, where you started at. You put a ton of, you said sweat equity before. You've put a ton of sweat equity to build what you have now, this waterfowl empire. Tell us about that. How did it start? What are your first memories? Lay it on us.
In 2003, I really developed what I call an entrepreneurial spirit. And I don't know if you're born with it. I don't know if you can learn it in college, but I had this desire, like we talked about in the last episode of Raised in the Woods, of manifesting something.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a businessman. And my first business was portable toilets. And I bring that up because,
that's beyond awesome.
I was a pumper. I ran the truck. I sold them. I checked on them. I served whatever. But it helped me to develop the talent of building a network. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was competition calling and I was trying to be
for
the
ducks.
Best and geese. And I was traveling all over the continental United States, competing in regionals and states and worlds and trying to be the best.
I wish we had some calls here today.
And I got my, you know what, kicked daily, like laughed off the stage. But then I started winning. Then I started getting a lot of top fives. But at the same time, I was developing a relationship. I met a guy named Fred Zink from Port Clinton, Ohio, who's one of the mentors of my career, my life, one of the best waterfowl all around hunters of all time. I started filming with him, and the way the Foul Life started was he invited a TV show called Ducks Unlimited Water Dog to Canada with us. And it was ran by a lady that's still in my life named Shannon Nardi. And her host of DU Water Dog was Justin Tackett. And they said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Nevada." They said, "We've never hunted out there." I said, "Well, come out." Mm-hmm. So they did. And a month after we went to Idaho and Oregon and Nevada, their producer called me and said, "I want to start a show about you. You were awesome on camera." Cool. He said, "Are you interested?" I said, "Yeah." His name was Mike Devine. He had Devine Productions in Oklahoma. And I was going to name the show Dr. Duck. And I was going to write a prescription for success.
Were a linguist back then as well.
And I was like, "I'm an idiot. I don't have the credibility. If social media was around, I'd have done it."
Yeah.
And so Paris Hilton and Lionel Richie's daughter, Nicole Richie, had a show on MTV called The Simple Life.
Yes, they did.
And there were these rich chicks milking cows.
I remember watching
that.
That
was a great
show.
And I think they had a reboot of it too, didn't
And
they?
I said, "I'm going to name the show The Foul Life." And I leaned back in my, and the reason I started with the toilet company, because I'm in my office, and in my office I had a mount. It was 9 banded greenheads on a pedestal mount coming through flooded timber with a no trespassing sign shot up like rednecks do. And I had a plaque on it that said, "Strike up the band." And I looked at the mount and I said, "I'm going to name a company Banded." Because that guy asked me to do a show about it. And I'm like, "I'm going to name a company Banded." And and that's how Banded started, is Banded Productions. The Foul Life, we started filming in the fall of 2008. We went to air in 2009. And I wore a shirt that I designed with a company called Banded Gear I started. It was a Guns N' Roses song called
Love
Double
Banded
Cluck.
Gear.
We do.
Oh, yes.
It was called,
Best Waiters
it was called
ever.
Double, it was called Double Talk and Jive, the song Axl Rose wrote. And I named Two Geese Fighting Double Cluck and Jive. And I wore it on the show. And that's how Banded started. John O'Rourke, the hunting buyer at Cabela's in Sydney, Nebraska, put that shirt in the stores. Mm-hmm. Then we started Banded Calls. He put every one of our calls in the stores. And then they came to us and said, "Banded's bigger than a duck call and a t-shirt." And now we have over 4,000 products. Banded's an unbelievable company. Foul Life is going into season 19. And, it's kind of a cool story.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing it. It's fantastic.
And you can find us on social media at The Foul Life.
Gotta get that plug in there.
Not be with filters on.
No filters.
All right. We need to talk about food.
That was our food for thought segment.
Fine.
I love to hear that story because that really is fundamentally the quintessential American dream.
It was not
that's
easy.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That was a short story.
Yeah. It's not supposed to be easy.
It's not easy, but everybody in this room has chased their version of the American dream. And, you know, if it weren't for the mallard duck and if it weren't for my passion for the outdoors, I never would have met.
Hey, there's some ducks flying right by now.
Ducks flying by the studio as we speak. I would never have had the chance to fulfill one of my lifelong dreams of being part of a national television show because symbiosis and luck doesn't happen. Earlier you said you make it happen. And that's what getting into the outdoors of the great Midwest is all about. Making the fortune of your life in experiences, not things. Getting off the phone, getting into the woods, breathing the fresh air, and taking that from field to table to put in your body and nourish it. And that's why we love doing this show and we love having you along. We'll see you next week on Raised in the Woods.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.